Good evening. I'm going to concentrate again on the boys and the girls. Last week we looked at a very, very important word. And it's what they call an acrostic. That's a big word, but it was one word that you all know. Can anyone tell me what that word was? That was very good. How do you spell the word Savior? He is a Savior of what? Right? Good. A. All sufficient. V. Victorious. I. Good. O. U. Universal. And R. Royal Savior. Now, I think Mr. Freddy should have a prize for those who got those points tonight. Very good. Now, Mr. Graylin, I don't know if you read my mind, but we're going to look at another word. And three scriptures. We won't keep you late tonight because the ice cream might melt. And so we're going to look at three scriptures. The first in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11. And we want to see if you can pick out the word in the verse. Now don't say the first scripture. We're going to look at three scriptures. Acts chapter 11, and it's a big verse, so I will read it, verse 26. When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now the second scripture is found in chapter 26. Now maybe one of the boys could read this verse in chapter 26 of the Acts on verse 28. One of the boys first. Agrippa. That's it, Cassidy. Now the final verse is in 1 Peter, the first epistle by Peter, in chapter 4. And one of the young ladies might read this one, and it is verse 16. That's it. We're going to look at the word Christian, and again use an acrostic. Where were they first known as Christians? At what town? Spanish Wells? In Antioch. Now let me ask you a question. What is a Christian? Honey? Wonderful. A person who believes in the Savior, or another explanation would be Christ ones. Those that follow the Lord Jesus. That's why they were called Christians. They were Christ ones. Now let's look very briefly at the word Christian. Now, first of all, the letter is what? The first letter, C. Now, what should a Christian be with the letter C? That's good. Christ-like, very good. But one smaller word. A Christian must be what? C, L, E, clean. A Christian must be clean. Now, how do you get clean? How do you become clean? By washing in the ocean? How then do you become clean, honey? Right? But I'm thinking about a process. Cassidy? No, that's good, but something before baptism, a process whereby you become clean. Washed in what? In the blood of the Lamb. And so people talk about living in the Christian Bahamas, the Christian United States, but they're not really Christians. They call themselves Christians, but they've never been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that's important. That's the only way that you become clean, by being washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now, time's moving along. What is the second letter? A Christian must be clean, and a Christian must be what? That's good, but another little word. Try again. That's it. A Christian must be happy. Now, a little girl said to her mom one day, "Are you a Christian?" "Yes, I'm a Christian." She said, "Are you happy?" Mother says, "Sure, I'm a Christian, I'm happy." "Well," said the little girl, "you forgot to tell your face about it." See, she was not reflecting in her countenance, because Christians ought to be happy people, because we've got to be happy about something. What is the thing that gives us more joy than any other thing? Yes, that is good. Reading the Bible makes us happy. Yes, but where are Christians going that should make us really happy? Heaven. Right. And that should make us very, very happy. Now the psalmist says, "Happy is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered, and to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." I've got a neighbor in Massachusetts. He just lives two doors from me. And you know what his name is? Happy. Happy. That's his first name. He's a wonderful man, but he's not saved. As far as I know, he's not saved. But he's got a happy countenance. And Christians ought to be happy. Now, the Apostle Paul was in jail. Do you think he was happy? Think again. Yes, he was singing praises to God at midnight. Can you imagine being in a jail with your back like a plowed field, bleeding because it was beaten by the governor? And he was happy. He was happy because he suffered for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Christians ought to be happy people, because they are going to the happy summer land, which is called heaven. C-H-R. Now this is a big word. That's good, but not what I had in mind. No. R-E-A-S-O-N-A-B-L-E. Reasonable. Christians ought to be reasonable people. Not fanatics, but they ought to be very reasonable people. And to come in contact with those in school and at work, and to be very reasonable with our fellow men. Now, there was a man in the second scripture, and Paul told him how he got saved. It's always a wonderful thing to tell how you got saved. And he was so impressive in his testimony, the king said, what? "Thou almost persuadest me to become a Christian." He almost made it, but there's nowhere in the Word of God that we ever found that King Agrippa became a Christian. Now that word "almost," what does it really mean? It means that you really just missed it right. And I'm sure there are people in hell tonight who almost made it. And if you could talk to them right now in hell, they would say, well, I was almost saved. But that's not good enough, is it? You have to be absolutely sure that you are born again. So Christians ought to be clean, and they ought to be happy, and they ought to be reasonable. Moving on to the next letter, I. Now, this is something very important. Christians ought to be what? I-N-S-T-R-U-S. Instructed. Now, what does that mean? If you go to school and you are instructed in a subject, you are taught that subject, right? And boys and girls and adults ought to be instructed in the Word of God. There's nothing more distressing than a person who says they're saved and yet they are not instructed in the Word of God. And any false notion or theory that comes down the turnpike or down the road, they fall for it. Not instructed. Little boy in the city of Boston, his grandparents, friends of mine, a cute little lad, about 5 years of age, and the folks upstairs in the second apartment took a liking to this little boy. And so they invited him up one night for supper. So they were all sitting around the table, and they began to dig into the food. And what do you think that little boy said? Cassidy? Yes, he says, does nobody give thanks around here? See, as a little boy, he was instructed to give God thanks for the food. And that's one, just one little lesson that we should learn. We should be instructed in the things of God. To know the Bible. You kids are doing well. Keep at it. To keep on memorizing, reading the lesson, and taking it from there step by step. And your boy in Edinburgh, Scotland, 12 years of age, and he quoted without making one mistake the 119th Psalm. Never made a mistake. 119th Psalm, which is the largest, the longest Psalm in the Bible. Tremendous to see those who are instructed in the Word of God. Little boy was praying one night in the state of Michigan, and his mother was listening to him pray. And he prayed about everything. And he was almost finished when he started up again. And he said, Lord, you look after yourself. For if anything happens to you, we are sunk. See, he was instructed to know that we must rely entirely what God can do. And he will never fail, and we know that nothing will happen to him. But that was his approach. He was instructed in the greatness of God. The next letter, S. Now then, come on, what letter S? What should a Christian be with the letter S? Very good. Christian is a Christian when he's saved. But something more, S-Y-M-P-A, sympathetic. Good, dear. A Christian must be sympathetic. Because if we're not sympathetic, then we are just unlike the Lord Jesus. Because he was always sympathetic with those who were sinners, those who were sick, and he always moved in. And he was a man of sympathy. We sometimes sing that tender heart that felt for all. For all its life blood gave, it found in earth no resting place save only in the grave. So when you see people who are not saved, you ought to be very sympathetic toward them. Because it's only by the grace of God that any of us are saved. And so show sympathy to those who are not as privileged as you are and who are still in their sins. And now, a Christian must be clean, he must be happy, he must be reasonable, instructed, and he must be saved, because if he's not saved, he's not a Christian. He must be sympathetic. The next letter, T. I wonder what should a Christian be with the letter T. No, not the one. If you are on a side that is winning, the victory side, you are what with the letter T? T-R-I, triumphant. You are triumphant. So boys and girls, if you are not a Christian, then whose side are you on? If you're not a Christian, whose side are you on? Amanda? Satan's side. And you are a loser all the way. But if you're on the Lord's side, you're on the what side? The victory side. The victory side. And that is the side of triumph. Now there is one person out to destroy you, and his name is what? Satan. Satan. He's out to destroy you. But if you hold on to the Lord Jesus, he will hold on to you, and you will be triumphant. Now then, the next letter. Now, we're going to have gospel meetings next week, Sunday through Thursday. I was hoping to go to Friday, but the airlines wouldn't change my ticket. So, that makes me feel sad. But, Sunday through, Lord's Day through Thursday, we are going to have special gospel meetings. And you kids can come. Sit and listen well, but bring others. Bring your friends. Show an interest in them, because we want to see everybody saved in Spanish Wells. And when the Lord comes, then there'll be nobody left on this island. That's what we want. And that's what we're praying about. Interesting. Now, as time is almost gone, the letter A, as in apple. What should a Christian be? A. Lazy, indifferent, A, active, very good. A Christian must be active. And so, if you claim to be a Christian, I'm talking to the adults, and you're not active in the things of the Lord, then there's something radically wrong. We have been born into God's family to be active, to serve Him, and to work. For the night is coming when no man can work. So we have to be active in the things of the Lord. Now, how could you ever be active? Tell me, how could you be active as a Christian? Give me an example. Well, you were singing, right? Yes, that's the first step, is to believe in the Lord Jesus. But once you've got to that stage, then you have to be active, and if you can sing, sing for the Lord. Give out gospel tracts. Whatever you can do, be active, because who was the greatest worker that ever lived? Scarcity? The Lord Jesus Christ. He was always working, and even after he died and rose from the dead, we read those words that the disciples went about everywhere, preaching the gospel. Were they active? Were they active? Yes, they were. They went about everywhere preaching the gospel. And we read in Mark's gospel, and the Lord was working with them. How many days did the Lord work to create the universe? 6 days. And what did he do on the seventh day? He rested. Good. So you see, God is a worker. The Lord is a worker, and the Holy Spirit, how many hours a day do you think the Holy Spirit works? 24 hours a day. Excellent. 24 hours a day. He never gives up. Probing the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, in Spanish well, that they may become what? Christians. Christians. Active. Finally, the last letter. N. So a Christian must be convinced, must be clean, he must be happy, he must be reasonable, he must be instructed, he must be sympathetic, triumphant, interested, active. What about letter N? N-O-T-I-C-E-A-B, noticeable. Noticeable. And you know, that is very, very important. If you're a Christian, you have to act like a Christian. And that will cause others to watch your life. You have to be notable. You have to impress people with the reality that you are a Christian. I pointed a mom and dad to the Lord in Niagara Falls, and they were following the Jehovah Witness doctrine, which is a cult. And wonderful, that night, the mom and dad got saved. The next night, the oldest one, a teenager, she came to me and she said, "Uncle Neil, we want to get what mom and dad has got." And that night I pointed the three members of the family to the Lord Jesus. You see, they had noticed that very day a change in their mom and dad's life. And they wanted to get the same thing that mom and dad had. So as you go to school, be different. Show that you are a real believer, a real Christian. And people will notice that your life is different. And that will be a very, very wonderful thing in the sight of the Lord. So again, Paul said, Agrippa said, "Thou almost persuadest me to become a Christian." He never made it, as far as we know, King Agrippa. And then we were told by Peter, even if you suffer for being a Christian, then it's something to rejoice in, that you belong to the Lord Jesus. So if there's one here tonight and you are not saved, then you are not a Christian. But again, we appeal to the adults. If you want to be a Christian tonight, a real Christian, a born-again Christian, then you can find the Savior before you leave this building. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we thank Thee for this night we have spent. We thank Thee for the singing of the songs of Zion. We thank Thee for the participation by the children. We thank Thee for their interest in the things of God. Pray for His development, that they'll become real vibrant believers for Christ, looking for the coming again of the Lord Jesus. Now again, we thank Thee for the provision made by the assembly for the food for the body's use. We thank Thee every good and perfect gift cometh down from Thyself. So we thank Thee for the kindness that there was shown to us in providing this food, and for those who have passed it on, or will pass it on, to us tonight. So we give Thee our heartfelt thanks, returning that to Thee tonight, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now we'll just sing a verse of a hymn as time has gone. Number 371. 371. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. Number 371, we'll sing the first verse and the chorus only, and then the meeting will be over.